section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
GFW news, Sami Zayn's on Raw, and we talk E60. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Global Force Wrestling had a major announcement on Wednesday. What was that, Aaron?
Yeah, so they announced some of the new wrestlers that are going to be joining their roster. And in particular, they highlighted four talents. Now, there are a few others I thought were pretty big, but these four are David Hart Smith, PJ Black or Justin Gabriel, Doc Gallows, and Machine Gun Carl Anderson. Now, Andy, I got to ask you, those are the four big announcements. Do you think that that was is that a big deal? Are any of these people, somebody that's going to put butts in the seats, do you think?
Well, it's pretty much the Bullet Club, at least a portion of it. I don't know if it's going to put butts in the seats. It'll be interesting to see what they're going to do with TV, because a lot of times Japan doesn't like seeing their wrestlers lose, if that makes sense. Because if they're your champions and they decide, hey, we're going to lose, they're going to get a little upset with Jeff Jarrett. But I'm just curious on what's going to happen, because they are doing some TV tapings, but they didn't say which network they're going to be on. If they're going to be on YouTube, if they're going to be on Vimeo, WWE Network, they haven't said yet. So I'm kind of interested to see where they're going to be. But also, do you think that Jeff Jarrett failed once? What's to say that he's not going to fail again? I guess is the other thing I'm looking at.
I think it's really great. I think I poo-pooed GFW, and I might be contradicting myself a little bit. I think I've gone back and forth on them, liking them, not liking them. I think having another promotion is a good thing. I think having these types of people who maybe didn't get their fair shot in the WWE. You know, Justin Gabriel, I think, was a very unique talent, and they just didn't use him. And he didn't connect with the crowd nearly as much as some of the other NXT people did. And so that's why they had to get rid of him, or that's why they, de-pushed him as much as they did. But I think being with GFW is really going to help him out. I think Carl Anderson is somebody that was vastly underrated, and I don't know if he even got much of a shot, here in the States, but obviously over in Japan, he's been killing it with Doc Gallows. And I think that's going to be really nice for them to show off. And of course, Davey Boy Smith Jr., having him around is going to be really nice. You know, he's done really great things in the world of wrestling, and I think having him around will be nice. So I actually think that they have a shot here. I think they have a shot to do something. They will be on a Ring of Honor-like stage. They're not going to be TNA. They're not going to be WWE. But I think they have a shot at, competing with Ring of Honor.
I am really weird about this because, okay, the roster is decent. Don't get me wrong. But if you're going after the hardcore wrestling fan, most of them are already watching New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe is this. This is pretty much New Japan Pro Wrestling, except they're bringing it to the States, which didn't he already do that? If my memory serves me right.
Yeah, with Wrestle Kingdom 9, that's something that he helped do. It was kind of a cross promotion thing almost.
So I guess I want to know more. Like, they're just, 2 months away from TV tapings, and they haven't announced a deal yet. I guess that's what kind of bothers me, because he has to make money. I mean, there's the only reason that you would do this is to make money.
Well, yeah, you have to pay your talent, of course. You have to do the arena. You have to, of course, make money yourself and pay the writers, the bookers, all that stuff. And so they are right now, tickets are available starting at $30. And that's the thing that's interesting, is it's starting at $30. It's not tickets as cheap as $20, tickets as cheap as $10. $30 is actually kind of expensive for this type of a promotion. It's brand new. It is going to be in Vegas, which is kind of nice. They're looking at Friday, July 24th, Friday, August 21st, October 23rd, May 15th. So they have a few dates already lined up, which is, really nice. But $30 still, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that that's a smart move. But I guess we're going to see.
Do you think that if they just said it's free, or if it's $5, do you think that they would actually have more people? Because I'm afraid that they're not going to sell enough. And maybe if the tickets are starting at $30, you know, we'll say like 100 people buy $30 tickets, but then they can't fill the stadium. So they're going to say, oh, by the way, you can get tickets for $5 a piece now or $10 a piece. Mm-hmm. I think that would anger the people that paid $30.
Oh, and they will do that. You know, I know when I went to TNA out here, I paid $25-$30 for the tickets. And, you know, the seats were great. I mean, they were really nice seats, but it was pretty empty. You know, I mean, the arena wasn't even half full. And I bet you some of those people got tickets for even cheaper than I did and had better seats. And at the time, yeah, I probably, you know, would have, you know, peeved me a little bit. But, you know, that's part of the wrestling, you know, business. I mean, that's the way that they do things. You know, they try to sell tickets up front. And if it's not something that's going to sell out, then guess what? They're going to start giving away tickets cheaper, cheaper and cheaper.
But do you think, okay, let's hypothetically, let's just say that GFW starts to fail. Do you think that it's just Jeff Jarrett because once he left the WWF at the time, he went to WCW, which failed, and TNA, which he basically had to, you know, which no matter how you look at it, it kind of failed. Do you think he's going to try the same thing with like as in maybe do like pay-per-views?
No, I think if GFW fails, I think that he's pretty much going to be done. I think he'll be a semi-retired, you know, he might be a consultant on stuff, but I think that he'll be done.
Has he burned his bridges with WWE?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, the thing is, if they see a way to make money off of him, then he will stick around or he'll come back there.
Oh, man. You know, the one thing that I've been having, I guess that's been bothering me is that it seems that if you win the TNA tag titles, something happens to someone, one of the people. And we forgot to talk about this last week, but Jeff Hardy broke his leg. Mm-hmm. He broke his leg, femur, if I'm correct.
I believe it was his tibia. I believe it was, okay. I believe it was his tibia, and it was a bad break. They said so. They were saying like 8 week, you know, timeline before he could even get back in the ring potentially. You know, it's very unfortunate. Yeah, I forgot. You know, we were doing this script last week. I just forgot to put it on there. But I heard about it. I was like, really? Like Jeff. Like you don't have enough bad things that have happened to you in your life and you break your leg. You know, I was listening to the Stone Cold podcast on Tuesday and Dixie Carter was on there. It was actually really great. And she was talking about it. And she said, you know, I got a call from his wife. And when she, you know, I was afraid that something terrible had happened when she said that he broke his leg. She actually was kind of happy that that's all it was. Because it's Jeff and you never know what he could do.
That, you know what? That is completely true.
Yeah,
that is a very interesting way to look at it, too, because, you know, like, did he die? Because actually, you know, he had some drug issues, so at least he didn't OD. So she's like, oh, he just broke his leg in 7 spots. OK, well, I guess that's better than him, you know, doing meth or whatever. So yeah. He didn't break his leg in 7 places. So just using that as an example. But it's sad that it happened because they just won the tag titles. I thought there was going to be a run of stuff, and especially, you know, with them going live for, you know, at least for this week, man, I don't know. That's kind of,
it's unfortunate. They're going to have to address it, you know, on Friday. Of course we're taping this before, so we'll talk about that next week, but you know, it'll be interesting what they do. I think they're going to have to strip them of the titles because, you know, they're taping multiple shows and you can't do that. You know, I think you're going to kind of devalue those titles a little bit because you really need to showcase them. But, you know, then again, they could do something very interesting and, you know, make it compelling television.
Or you're probably going to have Matt and what's his face? Richards.
Yeah. You'll combine the Hardys and the Wolves. Maybe one of them won't break their leg.
The
Wolf Boys.
The Wolf Boys. There you go. Well, it can't be Hardys with a Z because there he owns that.
Yeah.
Interesting, but so New Day decides that, hey, we're basically gonna be delusional heels, which I think are awesome. So New Day rocks. They actually took on Randy Orton and Roman Reigns, but the only reason why they won is because, well, Roman Reigns,
he speared Randy Orton.
So yep, no, he couldn't get the RKO out of nowhere. But then, of course, I find it interesting that Orton was probably like, no, Xavier, no, Biggie, no. All right, I'll let Kofi pin me.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that, too. I was sitting there looking through of course, when I was watching the match, I expected New Day to lose. But having the, first of all, having the tag champs win is smart. They should have done it last time when Cesaro and Kid took on Randy Orton and they 2-on-1 match and they both lost, which is terrible. But here it was smart. You know, 3-on-2 situation. You have them actually pin Orton. You have Kofi do it, which is, you know, the safe bet. You make Roman look strong. You know, I got to say, I really am digging the New Day. And I think that they've done a great job booking them. I don't think this was their plan all along, but I think after the, probably the first couple of weeks, they're like, okay, here's what's going to end up happening. Everyone's going to end up hating this and they're going to crap all over it. But we got to make a way to get them to like crapping on it. And I think they did a great job.
Yes, hands down, the creative actually on this, I think, got it right. The delusional heel, I just love that. That just makes me laugh. Aaron, who was the kicker that after he kicked the field goal, he celebrated?
Grammatica.
So, Dramatica.
Grammatica.
Dramatica. Anyway, so the reason why I bring it up is because I don't think there's ever been a wrestler that got hurt on his way to the ring. But apparently, no. Sami Zayn decided that, hey, he's going to come out for the U.S. Title, or U.S. Challenge that Cena does. Which, by the way, I find this smart because where's he from? Montreal.
Yep. Smart. They're testing the audience. And on top of it, too, I think any casual fan who's watching this at home, they're going, who's this guy? And you hear the crowd just going nuts. Bret Hart gave him a, you know, he said, here's a guy who I think will do great. And I think that was a very smart move. You know, the thing that was just crazy, because it was a good match. It was a really good match, but it was just so unfortunate that, you know, Sammy had to get checked on during the match. And they're saying that he's going to be out, you know, potentially 2 to 3 months. And so that puts his NXT match next week in jeopardy, which, you know, then we're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen with that. And we'll have to talk about it on the show. But it's very unfortunate. But the match itself, though, I got to say, I was really happy with the very smart booking here. I think this really helped out. I think this Raw was actually really great. And this was one of the reasons why.
Yes. It was also at a weird point because it was like almost the third hour. So that was that was really interesting. But one thing I thought was funny is that Bret Hart, he actually retired as the WWE U.S. champion. Did you know that?
Oh, that is right. Yeah. Although he actually retired before them, but you know.
Well, yeah, but he had it. And then it was like, oh, by the way, I won the title, but we need to start a tournament for this.
You know, I got to ask you, Vince Russo said on Wednesday that Sami Zayn is not TV ready. What do you think?
Yes and no. Depending on the market, you can't go to Moline and have Sami Zayn come out. You can go to Philly. You can go to New York. You can go to Montreal, and that's and Chicago, especially Chicago. That's where it stops. You can't go to Michigan. You can't go to Indy. You can't go to Ohio and have them come out. Because granted, it's NXT. I mean, you could do it in Orlando too, but it's NXT. That's the thing. It's not. You have to have those markets, the certain markets where the hardcore fans come out. That's why I agree. I don't agree with him. But then I agree, because if you take him to like L.A. where there's, I mean, there are hardcore fans there. But if you start going West Coast stuff, some of those people are going to be like, who's this guy? Where's John Cena? Where's Undertaker? That's what they're going to be basically doing. I believe that he is 20% right. We'll just, or 30% right.
Huh. Interesting. There were a lot of people that crapped on Russo for that. And, you know, for good reason. But I agree with him to an extent, and it's actually really pretty much all the points that you had made there. So, Andy, the other thing that happened on Raw, one of the bigger things was that Ambrose defeated Seth Rollins in a non-title match, which was actually, I think, the first time he's ever defeated him. And because he defeated him, he has been added to the WWE title match, making it a fatal four-way. What do you think? Ambrose, you know, being added to that match, is that a smart move?
I think they're going to hot shot it to Roman Reigns. I believe that somehow Seth Rollins is about to get the win. Dean Ambrose gives him dirty deeds. Ambrose gets speared. Reigns 1-2-3. That's what I think is going to happen. Because if you told me that I would actually be interested in Roman Reigns at this point, I'd be laughing in your face. But surprisingly, he's doing such a better job than what he did 2 years ago, even a year ago, even 2 months ago, I would say. His matches were all horrible. But now, this him being added to the match makes sense because he could actually cost Seth Rollins the title.
Yeah, and I actually agree with you about Reigns to an extent. I don't think he's going to win. And I actually think that Reigns, they're doing this in a way to have him constantly chasing the title. And I think that Rollins will drop the title at some point in time, but I don't think that now is that time. And I think adding Ambrose to the match is more to test him in a world title match. Because let's be honest, he hasn't had a world title match. I don't think ever, you know, and this was the first time he's ever had it in this type of capacity. You know, it's a non-title match, but, you know, this is a real title match. This is the main event of a pay-per-view. And I think that's a pretty big deal. So I think that Rollins is still going to walk out the champion, but we're going to have some interesting stuff that's going to unfold here. And I got to be honest, this pay-per-view I'm actually excited for. Extreme Rules, not so much. Extreme Rules, I think that if you listen to the show, you would hear in my voice, I was not terribly excited for. I just felt like it was a Me Too, WrestleMania or like a long Raw, you know, basically.
Are you serious? I'm not even looking forward to Payback. I'm looking forward to not watching it and then actually fast forwarding for a change.
I think that you're going to be dead wrong. I think that this is going to be a very good pay-per-view. Ryback, who has been doing really great recently, is going to be taking on Bray Wyatt. Obviously, we're going to have the tag titles, being defended. You know, Cena, Rusev, yeah, not so much. But the Fatal 4-Way, I think, is going to be a really big deal. And I think that this will be a match that when we record, you know, that Thursday, Friday, it's going to be really, really great. And I think that we're going to both like it.
And I will make sure to cap that audio to when the pay-per-view sucks. I'll be like, what'd you say, Aaron? And just keep.
Oh, no, you are more than welcome to, because, you know, last time you actually had to say on the show that, Aaron, you were right.
Aaron, you are wrong. We'll just leave it at that. But you know what? One thing that you're not wrong about is our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. By the way, did you ever use my coupon code?
Not yet, no.
So let's talk Impact Wrestling this week. So the TNA title picture is kind of weird, because they've been pushing EY, and of course, EY actually beat Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
Non-title, of course, but do you like where they're going with this?
Well, you know, and I've gone on record saying that EY's, you know, title run, I think, was bad. And I don't think they should have given him the title, but I will say that they've been doing a pretty good job booking him as a heel. I don't think he's really ever been a heel, you know, or when he has, it hasn't been, you know, like a main event style heel. Whereas here, that's what they're doing. They're making him a main event heel, and they've been doing a really good job with that, I got to say. But still, I don't want to see him with the title. I want to see him go for the title, but I don't want to see him capture it.
That's interesting. But yeah, I actually understand. I understand what you're saying, but yeah, I agree with that. Now, the one thing that I thought was interesting is that on the live Impact, they said that they're going to bring back a former world champion. Who is that? Mm-hmm. Who do you think that's going to be?
You know, I'm not sure. You know, but if you're listening to this on Friday when we release it, you know, there might be some speculation already. I'm hoping that it's not someone who is currently with the company, because that is dumb. Say, we're going to bring back a former world heavyweight champion. Oh, it's Robert Roode. You know, it's Bobby Roode.
Oh, my gosh.
It's Bobby Lashley. You know, if they do that, I will be very annoyed. What I'm hoping is that it's going to be somebody. It can't be Chris Sabin. He's in Ring of Honor doing, you know, some cool things there. It could be RVD, you know, for a one-shot deal. He's not doing much. And then again, they could also potentially, you know, I don't know what Sting. Sting has a deal, of course, signed with WWE for a Legends thing. He might be able to make an appearance. You never know.
I'm wondering if you're right. I'm wondering, wouldn't it be interesting if Chris Jericho went on there?
You know, I'm going to say that it's going to be a TNA world champion and not a just a world champion in general.
So you're saying it's definitely going to be TNA world. Now, did they say world heavyweight champion or what was the wording? Because I know that sometimes
I believe it's world champion. You know, and just real quick, I mean, you know, it's not going to be Samoa Joe, more than likely. It's probably not going to be Mick Foley. It's probably not going to be AJ Styles. And so it's someone who's not with the company right now that, you know, when you're looking at this, could be Bully Ray. You know, that's a possibility. Or, as I said, I think that it could be RVD.
I'm actually looking through. It could be something like Killer Kowalski. You know, he might do it.
TNA.
Well, yeah. Come on. Anyways, so Kenny King actually wins the... well, he wins the X title, in, by the way, probably the match of the night, a ladder match. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. But, like, it wasn't, like, memorable, but it was a good match, if that makes sense.
I get what you're saying. You know, Rockstar Spud with the title, I don't think Rockstar Spud needs it. Rockstar Spud is over. And I think that you need to have the X Division champion, somebody who's going to be defending the title on a regular basis, put on 5-star quality matches, doing some crazy stuff in the ring, and has the potential of losing it on a weekly basis. And I don't think, you know, Rockstar Spud obviously had the potential of losing it, but I didn't believe that he was ever going to beat anyone. You know, that was kind of the big thing with him. And I just, I didn't get why they even, why he even had it, you know, to be honest. I guess he won in England, so maybe that's why they want to give him a cheap pop.
True. So, you know, here's one thing also. I know this is backtracking a little bit. So I looked through all the champions that TNA has had. Realistically, other people not with the company, you got Samoa Joe, Sting, Mick Foley, AJ Styles, RVD, and Bully Ray.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So it'd have to be one of those guys, but realistically, who do you think it could be?
Yeah.
But anyway, so the whole thing with Kenny King, who was it that someone came in and threw Rockstar Spud off the ladder? I'm trying to remember who it was. Drawing a blank.
Yeah, that had a couple of people in the match. I believe Tigre Uno was one of them.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did like the fact that I was surprised that Kenny King won it. But it makes sense because the BDC, I believe that group needs a title. Like the Dollhouse, they need a title. And yeah, that's pretty much so your factions. There they are. Revolution, I believe that they're going to somehow get the tag titles back now. But oh,
well, no, they could.
That's true. The whole thing with EC3, he's doing his campaign. Do you think that this is the right way to go with EC3 right now?
I think that it's interesting. You know, he said, oh, no one's ever done this before, so I'm copywriting it, or, you know, whatever it was exactly that he said, which was, I think, really smart, really funny, a great way to do it. And I think it was good business, too. I think that was really smart. And to have him come out in a smarmy outfit with a smarmy bodyguard holding up that smarmy sign, I think that they just did a phenomenal job. I really do. And to have Ken Anderson do the counterpoint saying that he wants to beat EC3, be the first one to beat him, I think that's really genius too. I think that they've been doing a really good job with EC3, and I was a little critical of him at first, but he really grew on me, and I think that he's somebody who's going to be a big draw for them in the future. And when you think TNA, you know, of course AJ Styles is going to be probably the first one that ever comes to mind, maybe Samoa Joe, but I think EC3 will be that next guy who will be not Mr. TNA, but he'll be somebody that you think of.
And I believe with this is going to help both EC3 and Ken Anderson out. I don't think it's going to be one or the other. This is one of those that I truthfully believe it's going to elevate both guys. Even if Ken Anderson doesn't win, he can go to anything else. And basically, I believe these guys will be at the main event. Both of them will. And EC3, I will just say it now, by the end of the year, he will be a world heavyweight champion for TNA. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so let's actually talk. For a weekly topic, we want to talk about E60. In case you missed it, on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, they ran E60. I think it was called Behind the Curtain, and it dealt with WWE/NXT. Very interesting, because they called everyone by their real name, and then they had in parentheses or in quotes underneath their stage name, which I found pretty interesting. But they talked about a couple wrestlers, one being Leo Kruger and Adam Rose. And I think that was probably the I think of Adam Rose differently now. I believe that they're going to have to start booking him as a face again, starting on Raw. Because I kind of dug his story, and I believe, especially what happened with his son, Maverick, I believe that my opinion on him is changed. But I found it interesting that the guys that, when they did their production meeting, they don't like him. They're like, he doesn't get it. He can do everything in the ring. He's fine. It's just that he can't connect with the crowd. But the thing is, I remember when he first was doing the Leo Kruger thing, and the crowd started cheering for him, and he couldn't get them to like still like be at the middle. So then when they came with the Adam Rose character, that was it. And I thought it was funny, because when he came out, they still had World is Wild as his theme song, which, by the way, I'm still saying it now. I'm a broken record. And Doug, yes, we do agree on this. They just need to license that song. They already do enough for him with all the extras, but they need to license that. And because the crowd went nuts because I think of the song, and that helped out everything that happened with him. But it was, watching it again, I just kind of was like, you know, I remember this. This is really good.
Yeah. You know, watching it, you know, of course I definitely felt for Leo Kruger. You and I are both parents. You know, our kids are just over a year old. So it's one of those where you go, man, you know, like, imagine if my kid had that, you know, terrible disease where they had part of their, you know, organs born outside their body. I mean, it was so heart-wrenching. And to hear more about his journey, you go, man, that's like, this is really deep. You know, this is a pretty big deal for him. And, you know, I'm very happy for the success that he's had so far. You know, not connecting with the crowd. I think with NXT, you know, as Adam Rose, he could have been huge there if they really pushed him on there. But instead, they hotshotted him to the main roster. And I think that was a mistake, you know, and I still feel that was, because he fizzled out very, very quickly. And I think on NXT, he would have gotten over. They could have done some more stuff with him. They have fleshed out his character a little bit more, but they did lose the bunny. And so everyone's wondering, well, what happened with that feud? You know, where's the Bunny Adam Rose feud at? You know, maybe we'll see it on Payback. You know, who knows? Maybe the bunny will get payback on him. But, you know, either way, the story was really great, and they did a great job highlighting that. The one of them that I thought felt a little flat, though, was Xavier Woods. You know, I think that he, first of all, Austin, I think that he is really cool. He's the type of person that I would be friends with in real life, because he's into nerdy stuff. You know, he's getting his PhD, which is really awesome. And that is just such a feat to go through. You know, I know, having a master's degree myself, I know what I had to go through just to write my master's thesis. To do that with a PhD is 20 times even worse. So I can only imagine the stuff that he has to do and wrestle at the same time. But his story wasn't as interesting, I don't feel, as Adam Rose's or Corey Graves. What do you think?
You know, I watched Tyler Breeze has one. If you go to ESPN's website, you can actually watch the Tyler Breeze story. I believe Tyler Breeze was the worst. Xavier Woods was actually the next one that, you know, if you go 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, Tyler Breeze, Matt Clement, and then you have Xavier Woods. And I believe that his story, it was more about the fact that he's getting the PhD. And I think that's what helped him actually be on the show. I really think, and this is just me, because I think, you know, I've always said I think she's pretty and stuff. I believe Paige should have been on there, because at that time you should have had a female NXT wrestler going, making her way up. And of course she was going to be in the main roster eventually, but it'd been interesting to see, you know, have her talk about her story and her family going back to like the Knight family over, you know, in Europe. And I believe that would have been a better story than, well, Tyler Breeze's, because it was basically, I've been a wrestling fan this entire time, blah, blah, blah. I came up with this character. Then they decided to, like, that whole thing was like, okay, that's dumb. But Xavier Woods, yeah, it was okay. I mean, it was kind of interesting. By the way, him and Tyler Breeze actually are roommates. which I find interesting.
Interesting.
to save money, basically. If Xavier Woods is going for his PhD, he's going to need to save some money. But yeah, I believe that, yeah, his was not as good. Corey Graves is really interesting because, you know, as we know, Corey Graves, he kept getting concussions, which is really weird because you would think as a wrestler, as you train, you wouldn't get them. But I believe that some of the concussions that he did get, it wasn't even his fault. It was the other guy who, you know, a kick that was a little too stiff that basically almost knocked him out in the ring. And he was like, what's going on here? But he kept passing the impact tests. But him as a family man, I just thought that was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And by the way, he can't pull off the jeans and flip-flop look. I'm just saying that right now. That was my one thing. I was like, he just looks weird with flip-flops on. Different color, dude. Yeah, so if I ever see him, that's what I'd say to him. And then probably get punched in the face. But I thought it was interesting because he couldn't be a wrestler anymore. They couldn't clear him because he's had probably 20-some concussions. And then they're like, hey, we're going to make you an announcer. And I believe that he has done pretty well as an announcer. He keeps getting better, which is one thing that some guys, they're the same. They're stagnant. They're just, there's nothing special about him. And that's the thing. I used to make fun of Michael Cole because I thought he was horrible. But over time, he got really good. And I think Corey Graves has that potential. Plus, I do like the look of, like Triple H actually said, he likes the look of a tattooed guy that's wearing a suit, which, you know, we never saw that with, CM Punk, of course, but I believe that he can pull it off, and I think he's going to be bigger than just an announcer. I think he's going to do something more. I think he'll eventually replace, Booker T, so.
Yeah, I think that he definitely has a possibility of replacing Booker T. I don't think that we'll see him in the Michael Cole role. You know, we won't see him be a play-by-play guy, but, you know, you can see him as a color commentator. You know, I think that he has an interesting look. I also think that he has a really great voice and a great personality. You know, they said the biggest thing, of course, is charisma. You have to have charisma. And he definitely has that in spades. It's very unfortunate that he got injured, you know, the way that he did. You know, this is, definitely a sad story. Not as sad as Adam Rose's, but it still was a very sad story. To hear what he's been through and then to hear the hardships that he's had. Yeah, I hope his story has a happier ending because I would like to see him wrestle maybe one, maybe two more times.
Yeah, it's just, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but this is one of those things where I'm just going to tell everyone, you got to watch it. It's the ESPN E60, which honestly, if you have ESPN, you have probably ESPN2, ESPN3, ESPN8, The Ocho. You probably have all those. So you can go ahead. It'll be on one of those. ESPN Classic also will run as well. So you got to watch it. This is something I'm pushing everyone to watch because it was such a great doc. And I believe that when it's all said and done, the winner on this one is going to be Adam Rose. And then, of course, Corey Graves is going to be a very close second. So definitely something everyone should watch. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.